There's a thousand further women living out there. They're all living the devil may care. Well, I'm just a devil with a lot of despair. So viva Las Vegas! Viva!
Thank you, Wayne Newton, for that fabulous intro. You're listening to Cats with a Dish. This is John Katzlamitis. I write the Cats Report for the Las Vegas Sun and Las Vegas Weekly, and I write for all of the titles you know and love in Greenspun Media Group. Look out soon for my cover story on Jimmy Kimmel. It's a barn burner, folks. Joining me at the moment is not Trish McCrone. She's still in our Montana bureau out on Flathead Lake, getting scoops from Flathead Lake. She's our bureau chief at Flathead Lake up there. That's up by Kalispell, Montana, if you're in the neighborhood. Drop in and say hello to the Newtons. They love that. Joining me instead is my good friend and one of the great entertainers I know, Frankie Moreno. He's helping me out with post-chat this week. Frank, what's going on, FM?
Frankie the Dish.
Frank the Dish, E. So how's it going, man?
I'm good. Good morning. Good morning, Johnny.
Yeah, it's early for us, all of us night owls in Las
Probably
Vegas.
More early for me than you, but...
Yeah, it is, but a lot of stuff going on with you. There's always a lot of stuff going on with Frankie Moreno. Tell me about the champagne, first of all. There's champagne that has your face on it.
I have what's a champagne out now, yeah. Frankie Moreno champagne. It's going to be in... I think Lee's and Total Wine, all that stuff in the next upcoming week or week and a half. They're already online, so we're already selling them to all, like, a lot of the casinos are buying them right now, and it's pretty cool. It's really good.
How does this come about? How does one be...
Random. I mean, there's a vineyard that contacted me that just said, would you like to do a champagne? And I said, okay, and started tasting different champagnes they had. it all worked out. It was actually pretty awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. And you also have, so this is available. Are you selling this at the show? Are they selling it at the
hotel? I can't sell it.
Paint it at all?
They just ordered it. So, I mean, like, they just ordered a whole ton of boxes or cases. So, I mean, like, it's not actually available just yet at the show, but it will be. But I can't sell it personally because I don't have a liquor license. But, I mean, I can promote it. And we have it online. Okay. But you can buy it when you come to the show. But it'll be online. But, you know, for all the Vegas residents, it'll be in the liquor stores here.
All right. And you have a new opening act. There are changes. You're always kind of tinkering with the show, but the biggest change lately is a young band, a band of teenagers has taken over your stage as your opening act. What's going on with these guys?
Well, we've been working with the, you know, the kids at the LVA doing the songwriting classes, me and my brothers. And we started bringing in different kids from the school to sing with us. We thought, well, no one in town's doing this, and this is kind of cool, and these kids are great. Let's let them, like, sit in. So we found this one guy, Tommy Ward, who was fantastic, and so we started having him come in repeatedly. And the crowd just loved him. Yeah, he's a singer, and he's I'm writing a bunch of music for him, and he's singing a lot of my old songs that you always sing to me on my message machine.
For anyone who's yearning to hear 12 Dozen Roses as sung by a 17-year-old, opportunity knocks with Tommy Ward. Tommy Ward, for people who know of the actor Sal Mineo, that's who he looks like.
Yeah, 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 exactly, you know? Yeah. No, but he's a great, he's a cool little thing. And we thought I was featuring him in the show, and then I thought, well, our show is so old school, as you know, like this, it's just an old kind of a concert setting in Vegas. So we're like, well, let's do the opening act thing. I mean, Elvis had the opening acts, and I had the opening act. I mean, like, a lot of these guys had opening acts. And we thought, well, what's cooler than using an up-and-coming... These guys are going to be the guys, you know, in 5 or 6 years that are in the showrooms.
Yeah.
Let them do it now, you know?
Give people an idea of the next generation. Yeah. What they look like. A lot of entertainers, including Elvis, you mentioned, you did not use music acts as their opening acts.
No, comedians.
Comedians.
Yeah.
And why would you... Because you tried that a little bit.
I tried that with comedians before. It's... The comedian things definitely work. I mean, I think I'm not, like, known enough to the tourists coming in to break the ice with a comedian that, you know, what style of comedy are we doing? Are we doing Blue? Are we doing, you know, Seinfeld kind of stuff? I mean, that's it's a tricky one. With music, it kind of breaks the ice. So I can actually sit on the side of the stage and kind of look out at the crowd and see who's doing what and gauge.
And this is as presented by Frankie Moreno. This little band Suede is their called.
Yeah, they're called Suede, and they're fantastic for one. And it's all original stuff, and but it's just something different. And apparently, Tommy was telling me they were looking into this stuff, and they're the youngest opening act in Vegas history, which is cool because I'm the only one that's ever done originals as an unknown act in Vegas.
Right,
so it's a very unique thing. So I'm sure as soon as you know. as soon as this catches on, you're going to see everyone doing this. You're going to see all the bands, whoa, we got kids from the LVA coming open for us.
It's Teddy and the Toddlers here.
Yeah.
Five-year-old kids up there. But, what other changes are happening with you?
Doing a lot of changes to the show, starting a new record with Pat Thrall again.
All right. Studio at the Palms. Great guitarist. He's worked with everybody.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
And is Studio at the Palms? Is that where it's
Yeah. Him and his wife, Zoe. Mm-hmm. Run that. So, yeah, I'm doing another project with Pat and just started writing all this new stuff. So trying to keep, we found in the last record a couple of the upbeat things that people really liked. And then we released that single called Angel Town.
Angel Town burns it up.
Yeah. And so we're like, let's just make a whole record of Angel Towns. You know, uh-huh. I mean, just a whole bunch of fast, crazy, Jerry Lee almost kind of uh-huh. 60s funky stuff.
Yeah,
you know?
Pat will be into that. He'll love that. He'll love that.
So it's really exciting new. It sounds like if Jerry Lee Lewis and Prince and Elvis.
Yeah, it's an attack situation.
It's just more of a funky thing. So I've been working on that, and yeah, man. I mean, God, there's so many things going on. It's just hard to even.
You know, one thing I wrote about, as you know, and we've been talking about this, and they're very excited over it at Harrah's, and I went there actually. We were going to go, and I ended up going with Clint Holmes. Was to see Million Dollar Quartet.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been talking about having headliners come in and do a segment at the end, a song or two at the very end of the show.
Are they doing like a song from the era?
That they did with Veronique.
Yeah.
Was the first one on Monday night. They had her do a June Carter Cash, Johnny Cash medley.
Okay.
But I think that what they're allowing is to give the entertainer autonomy to do something. I think they would ideally want something of the era or of that kind of vibe.
Well, let's do it. I'm in.
But yeah, they're looking for people to do it, and you're on the short list of people to do that. So well, we got to get to our show. Frankie's at the Stratosphere Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m. following Tommy Warden Suede. So thanks for coming in.
Yeah, man. Thanks for having me.
Up next, we have an interview. Dish will be back and a recorded interview with the hypnotist Anthony Cools. But first, Josh Bell with Movies. So stick around. I know we will.
This is Claire Sinclair, 2011 Playmate of the Year, and you're listening to Cats with a Dish.
Before we start, I'd just like to explain.
Max DaCosta, violation of Penal Code 2219, today at bus stop 34B.
Yes, that's exactly what I wanted to talk to you about. You see, I believe there's been a misunderstanding.
Immediate extension of parole by a further 8 months.
Wait, what? No. I can explain what happened. I was made a joke, and,
Stop talking.
That's Matt Damon in Elysium, the new sci-fi film from District 9 filmmaker Neil Blomkamp. I'm Josh Bell, film critic for Las Vegas Weekly, with a look at what's new in theaters this week. District 9 created a great balance of social commentary and science fiction, but Elysium is much clumsier. In a future when humanity's elite live on a luxurious orbiting space station and the masses live on Earth in poverty, Damon's character launches a desperate, violent invasion. The movie's social commentary is heavy-handed and obvious, and while Blomkamp's vision can be exciting, the execution is mediocre. I give Elysium 2.5 stars out of 5. Also opening this week is the animated Planes, a spin-off of Pixar's Cars series.
Why, hello, ladies. You ready to lose?
Last one to the water tower. Buys a round of fuel.
Tell you what, I'll give you guys a head start. You're gonna need it!
Later, loser.
Produced not by Pixar, but by Disney's direct-to-video animation division, Planes tells the story of a crop duster voiced by comedian Dane Cook, who follows his dream of competing in an around-the-world airplane race. It's dull, lifeless, and predictable, with a cast full of forgettable characters distinguished mostly by their exuberant embrace of ethnic stereotypes. Even at their worst, the Cars movies could create a vibrant, detailed world, but Planes is consistently flat, uninspired, and boring. I give Planes 1.5 stars out of 5. That's a look at what's new in theaters this week. Check out my reviews in Las Vegas Weekly and online at joshbellhateseverything.com.
Welcome back. Sitting with us now is the headlining comic hypnotist at Paris, Las Vegas. He is no stranger to Las Vegas. He's been performing in our city for 10 years, dating to his days at the Stardust, the late, great Stardust. Welcome to Cats with a Dish, Anthony Cools.
Hey, how's it going?
Yay!
How are you doing, sir?
I'm living the dream as usual.
How is the comedy hypnotist industry doing right now?
You know,
are we
what?
On the upswing?
Everybody's down, but you know, I'm just sort of consistent. So you know, after so many years of being at the Paris, and it's been 8 years now.
Eight years at Paris.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a machine. So you know, I just come in, do my thing, and fly under the radar, and see you on as many red carpets as possible.
it's a weekly thing.
It's so funny. It's always the same. It's the same people on the carpet. Like
every week.
Anthony is one of the best dressed guys on the carpet. Though.
Oh, thank you so much.
I've seen you a couple times with Veronique. I saw you at the red carpet there.
Yes.
And the Gatsby Gamble.
Yes.
At one Queen's
Man, I've been
place.
On a mountain too long. I've missed all this stuff.
Anthony's been,
It's too hot to be here right now.
It is.
You should be on a mountain. That's where
I
you
know.
Should
I
be.
Can't wait to get back
red
on a mountain.
Carpets have to be inside.
But now you have really
I think I did four in the last 10 days. Four red carpets in the last 10 days.
Which were they?
I can't even remember. I mean,
would
really,
you count Queensridge was 10 days?
Okay, last night was comedy night for the military event.
Okay.
And let's see. What was the other ones? I can't even remember.
Was Veronique in that swing?
No, that was before. Too many. Like, literally, they become blurry after a while.
I have a very interesting relationship with the red carpet. I don't think you ever get really any good material out of the red carpet in and of itself, but it's kind of fun to be there.
Yeah.
Something quirky always happens.
Well, I'll go to the opening of a letter. You know,
I love that about you. I love that you admit that so many people are like, you know, so many people come into town, they literally are everything. They're like, yeah, you know, like pick and choose. I'm like, you go to everything you're invited to. You don't pick and choose.
You know, it's funny. Frank Marino.
He can do a duality.
Yeah, sometimes
of the,
you don't know. You're not sure how he's going to show up. And
exactly.
He's got the gout, the what are you wearing aspect. Well, look at the buns on that one. But no, you really have carved out quite an interesting niche that most people haven't been able to do. One, because you're very self-contained.
Very.
So it's, I mean, you basically have to just rake in the bucks because you took a room that was not a theater.
No, it was the check-in lobby.
Yeah.
That's what that room where you are now is the
Literally,
registration?
Because of what you do, you have to have your lighting, you have to have your sound, and then you do video stuff, so that kind of a thing, and which you end up paying for with the amount of videos that you sell, I'm sure, at the end of every show.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you just have chairs.
One assistant on stage.
Yeah.
And
so that's it.
A couple hostesses. Yeah, that's about it, though.
Wow. And so basically, the profit that you must make from that place is amazing.
I do okay. I can't complain.
Like, it's hard for you to lose money on a given night.
I think my break even is like, you know, 8 tickets or something like that.
Oh, my God. Now, a lot of people can't say that in Vegas.
What's the room seat? It's about
200. 208. Yeah, it was 270 until the fire marshal visited me, and he said, no, too many, because I crammed as many seats as possible. So, but we operated at 275 for many years, but now 208.
So now, the Paris just lets you just do whatever you want with that room, right? They don't really patrol you at all?
Yeah, what are your restrictions, if any?
It's pretty funny, the relationship I have with the Paris, because I basically own the paint and in from there, and they own the paint and out from there. So it's that kind of relationship, and I'm really flying to the radar kind of guy. I mean, I don't think I've had an executive visit me for like a year or two. Like, no, as long as I'm bringing their dollars, they're happy.
As long
as
you're paying your end of it,
they're happy,
and the fire marshal's not cracking down on you or anything like that. You're all right,
exactly. Yeah, but it's actually transformed itself into a cool little theater right now. I mean, we've got a real concrete stage now after 8 years of being there, and a black ceiling as opposed to a white ceiling, and we've got doors, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, you do. I know. Yeah, it's not curtains. You've got doors. Yes.
Well, the first 8 months, we didn't have doors. We literally walked in there. We pulled in 150 chairs every night. We covered all the check-in desks with a giant piece of black duvetine cloth and covered them up. And we had two curtains made with sleeping bags inside of them for sound. And we put these curtains down in front, and we converted that space for 8 months into the Anthony Coolis experience. And that's a funny thing, too, the word experience, because that was a union issue. When I came to the Paris, they're like, well, are you a theater? I'm like, no. And they said, well, are you a lounge? I'm like, no. They said, well, what are you? I said, well, why do you need to know? They said, well, because there's different rules for
and
unions.
And different taxes. And
right,
different,
Different union. If you're a lounge, you have to have this many techs, and you have to have this. And if you're a theater, this many techs. Well, what are you? I said, I'm an experience. And they said, well, what the heck's an experience? I said, well, I'm not a lounge, and I'm not a theater. I'm an experience. They said, well, okay, well, how long's your contract for? I said, 8 months. They said, okay, one guy. So they sent me one guy in there, and I've had one guy in there for the last 8 years because now I've set precedence and they can't touch me anymore. But it's pretty funny.
You're like grandfathered in.
I thought it was funny because first it was the Anthony Coolis experience, and it went from the Eiffel Tower ride to the Eiffel Tower experience. and then it was the machine gun shooting experience and the mob experience and all these experiences are winding up, you know?
Somewhere Jimi Hendrix is smiling.
Isn't it the CSI experience?
It's the CSI experience. Yeah. And I'm like, hey, I'm the first experience in town, you know? Like, I started that stuff up.
You have a very, very, your show is, I mean, one, it's hysterical for those of you who haven't seen it, which, you know, you absolutely must run out and go see it.
And adult.
But it's very adult, it's very dirty, and it is, I mean, it's hysterical. You literally, you know, satisfy people, I will say.
Yeah, big O's.
Yes, there's a lot of ovations that are given out during the
standing ovations.
Exactly. So, but now, do you ever, the two things I want to know is, okay, one, do you ever have anybody get upset with what they've done?
No, because actually part of the last thing I say is you'll have no remorse about what you've done.
Oh, so you tell them they can't get upset.
Absolutely. I don't.
Now, so there's never been any blowback from somebody who's been on stage who said,
not from somebody who's been
on stage. People are doing some things to objects that, you know, I have to say that which is why I have never, ever, ever would ever volunteer there, because the fact that it's like, I know that I'm one of those people that could be hypnotized like that. I'm so gullible. It's not even funny that I know that I would be up there and I would be doing stuff that I would never live down. Like, I get that about me, you know?
Yes.
And so I'm like, and I would not want that out there.
Yes, I don't blame you. I wouldn't go up there either.
Yeah, so
it's crazy.
But so
it's better to be the puppeteer than the puppet.
That's for the tourists to do. You know what I'm saying?
But you say that people don't do things that they wouldn't do.
No, I never said that. That's a myth.
That's a myth.
Sure it is.
Did somebody ever say that in hypnosis? Do people say that?
I don't know. I've heard that for many years, too. I'm like, well, I've never come across that situation. I mean, I've never had anybody that's under entrenched to say no to me. This doesn't happen to me.
Wow. You're goading them to be in a direction that might already be predisposed, in other words, but latent. It's in them, but you have to draw out
the level that they go to in my show, they're deep. There's if they're light, I kick them off stage right off the get-go.
And, yeah, can you trick you?
People try, and I get asked in every interview pretty much, how can you tell if somebody's under? And at every interview, I tell the same response. I'm not going to tell you because I'm looking for something very specific. And if that gets out there, what I'm looking for,
people are going to try to do it.
Then they're going to try to take me, and that would discredit the show. So it's hard enough to be credible already. I mean, hypnosis, you know, I think Penn Jillette describes it as an art form below mimes.
Yeah.
You
know, I mean,
he doesn't like hypnotists.
But he's a great guy. I like him.
He just doesn't like the art form. He's one of those who doesn't appreciate it.
Right.
He said that.
Yes. Yeah, but that's okay. As far as the credibility of it, though, it's hard. The credibility is really difficult. I mean, like, what do you do? You're a hypnotist. Oh, that's nice. You know, people don't accept it as a viable form of entertainment. It wasn't until last year that Las Vegas Review Journal even put in a hypnosis category.
Mm-hmm.
They had, you know, the best slot club theme. but, you know, there's three or four hypnosis shows in town, and we didn't even have a category until last year.
Right. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's very prevalent, like magicians.
How many are there? Well, I mean, Beck, when I think of hypnosis, I think of, okay, maybe it was before I was born that I remember this, but Pat Collins, the hip hypnotist.
Yes,
I remember as a child.
Yes, and
that, you
and
know,
also
that was
the great Peter Ravine up in Canada.
Mm-hmm. Right,
Ravine was a huge, massive, larger than life up in Canada, and he ended up coming down here representing Lance Burton. Mm-hmm. And he got him that big deal at the Monte Carlo.
Just passed away.
Just passed Ravine. Away. I was honored to speak at his
memorial. He influenced a lot of people. A name not many people really recognize too readily, but he had a lot of influence on a lot of entertainers.
And you know what's funny? August 5th, I'm excited to have Maria Ravine, his granddaughter, start working for me.
Oh,
wow.
Really?
Yeah.
As a stage assistant?
Stage assistant.
And performer?
And she's going to actually, because it's so rare to find somebody in the industry that has experience.
Yeah.
Right.
And to have a name like that is just huge. So I'm going to bring her on as a broker liaison, theater management, like the whole night, everything.
Well, I mean, going back to, I mean, obviously there are very few well-known hypnotists. What got you into it? Was it something that you wanted to be a therapist and you studied hypnosis, or did you always want to be in entertainment hypnosis?
I've been a class clown since I can remember, and I've been very comfortable with a microphone and an audience. I started DJing when I was very young, at 12. And I used to get hauled around to the bar mitzvahs and weddings and you know, Lions Club meetings and wherever they needed a DJ. Mom would haul me in the station wagon, and I'd go do these gigs. So I got really comfortable. And then being a an idiot. You know, I mean, I have to do, I had to be at the center of attention at all times. I started learning instruments and how to play music, but apparently that wasn't the way to go. And I did a little bit of magic, but that wasn't it for me either. So I focused on the DJing until the CDs came into play, and then it leveled the playing field for me because I was a vinyl guy.
You know? Oh, God. Yeah, you do the scratching.
I did the scratching with real vinyl, yeah. You know, before the days of computers. So I hung up the headphones, and I started getting into management, club management. Did that for many years. And the owner of the hotel that I worked for, he had me working like 60 hours a week, like ridiculous hours. And I had nothing to do. Like, I literally sit in the office and do nothing for 5 hours. So I started reading about hypnosis, like heavily about it. And one day we had it out, and I said, that's it. I'm going to do a show at the club. He said, okay, you can go ahead and do a show. So I did a free show. I was expecting about 100 people to show up, and about 550 showed up for my first show.
Wow. And I mean, could you put them under your first time trying? Like, I mean, did you practice on your friends and things like that?
I did not hypnotize a single person before I walked up on stage the first time.
So you didn't even know if you could really do it?
I didn't really know if I could do it. I had a strong enough education. I had the confidence to pull it off. So that's what happened.
There's no real rehearsal process for you. Is
you can't that, rehearse.
There's no sound check process. Exactly.
Yeah, you check. Does it work? Yes. Okay, uh-huh.
Okay good.
Let's
We're
go.
Good. Build We're good. Good.
And my props are the audience.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I have to say, I remember the first time I met you at the Stardust, and I remember being very nervous to when you said hello and you went to shake my hand, and I had heard, you know, obviously we were in the same theater, so I had heard what you can do with the handshake. And so I was like, I didn't know if I wanted to shake your hand because I know that I am very gullible. And I was thinking to myself, I would never have dinner with this man because by the end of dinner, he'd be looking at me like, you will pay the bill. And I'd be like, yes, you will take your top
like
off.
Subliminal guy
you
on
will,
Saturday Night
you
Live.
Will go home with me tonight. Like, can you really do that?
Yeah, but I don't. I mean, I don't practice hypnosis unless I'm on stage. Okay. First off, I after 19 years, you need to pay me to do it. Okay. I'm not going to do it for free.
It's a commodity. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not going to do it for free. And I have a hard enough time getting a date as it stands. So,
I'm sure of that.
People think I'm this local stud muffin. I get stood up more often than you could possibly even imagine.
I have a tough time.
I think girls are a myriad of young ladies.
They all work for me.
And I will say yes.
They work for me. I'm paying them to hang out with me.
It's not the date. If you're like me, it's the second date. That is a toughie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What does that say about you guys?
I don't know. That's just the way it is.
Vegas people are horrible to date. They really are. They're just.
You know what? I'm going to agree with that. I'm not even going to pretend that, you know, it's very hard being. We have three single people here. It's very hard to be single in Las Vegas.
I have this girl recently asked me. She said, "What do you look for in a girl?" I said, "The fact that she shows up would be nice." No.
Well, you were a millionaire. You were a millionaire matchmaker. No, you were a millionaire matchmaker.
Yeah, but right. That was reality TV.
Yeah, that was not. Yeah,
I was dating a girl, a wonderful girl, for about 3 years when I shot that show. It was the middle of that the relationship. She said, "I want to go out there and get some exposure." She said, "Oh yeah, go for it." So
no.
But one thing that came out there that's very that a lot of people don't know about you is that you have a billboard printer.
I'm very self-contained with my show. I own my own billboard company. And
so, I mean, literally, you know, the giant billboards, you have this printer that just prints them out. So that's another way that you can, like, rake in the cash. And no wonder you have a Lamborghini that I just saw in the parking lot.
And I own the trucks.
Wow.
I know. All the trucks that are on the road, those are all mine, too. I mean, I'm very self-contained. I don't like to farm out stuff. Like, if I need to print a T-shirt, I'll buy a T-shirt press. Because if I have to do it once, I have to do it again. So it just makes sense.
It's a good investment. And
always.
It helps promote you.
So he's quite the little entrepreneur.
Yeah. I want to ask you, Anthony, you had branched out and were over at the Plaza for a time and had the showroom there.
Yes.
And had the club, swingers and all that.
And the hair salon.
And the salon also. Yeah. Now, explain, we went through this whole thing in December where you pulled out of the theater and the shows, many closed except for Fat Pack.
Yes.
Still in there. Now Louis Anderson's in the main room. What happened with that relationship?
Well, basically, what I was promised didn't come through, and the venue didn't support me the way I wanted to be supported.
What were you promised?
I was promised a wonderful marketing campaign that, you know, I don't think they have a billboard out yet. I've not seen a single billboard for Plaza anywhere. I mean, they just don't have they don't have a marketing department. They don't have anything like that. So it was in my best interest just to pull out of there.
Right. Would you ever entertain that type of project again?
I was working 18-hour days for that year
because you were still doing your show.
Oh yeah,
obviously.
Yeah,
you were doing a lot of stuff with the bar.
I was at the bar, the hair salon, the four productions.
Well, see,
the
and you
concierge.
Couldn't meet a woman at the hair salon. Come on, it's like a a picking ground.
I'm not
right going to
dip my pen in the company ink.
All right.
Simple as that. But you know, I was doing 18-hour days, and the reward was just not there at the end of the day. So my New Year's resolution this year was to drink more and meet people and have fun. And you know, that was
that's about when I'll list.
That's my resolution every year.
Well, last year the work schedule was insane. Like literally 18-hour days every day. And I aged a lot last year, I'll tell you that much.
Is it easier to do business on the Strip still than it is trying to put something into anywhere downtown on Fremont Street?
I think downtown is coming back. I think there's a strong revival headed down that way. I just don't know if it's necessarily going to be at the north end. I think it's going to be more at the south, or sorry, the east end.
West instead of east.
Yeah, I think.
Or east instead of west.
Yeah, the east end is going to be booming up really hardcore.
Yeah.
And the city's got some great incentive programs, you know, free liquor permits and things like that. You know, so I think I can see that becoming very, very strong. And over the next couple of years, I think downtown will be revived. I just don't know about the West End.
What about your show itself? You're in for how long as you want to be there, it sounds like.
Yeah, well, I just signed up 2017, which is great. And I just, it's a machine. After this many years, it's a machine. I literally come in, do my stuff. I've got my car keys in my hand, and I'm in my car and on 15 before the theater's emptied out. And it's just a machine. It's 3 hours of my life, and it supports my bar habit.
And your Lamborghini. Let's just bring that
and
up.
And is
again.
It always going to be adult? I mean, there's various versions of hypnosis.
The very first show was a rough version of what I'm still doing today. And I think it's a really cool market. And you know, in Sin City, that's what it has to be. There's been so many clean hypnotists that have come here and just not be able to make it happen.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, there are so many hypnotists now. I mean, do you find that there's a lot of thievery going around?
Yeah.
How does one thieve
an act? I have seen people, I mean, I had never seen what you do in terms of with the furniture and with the handshake, I had not seen.
Well,
we can talk about
they're auditioning for a porno.
I didn't know if you wanted to give away what you do
absolutely.
Without people seeing the show.
Yeah, let's give an example. I tell them they're auditioning for a porno movie, and the chair is the person they're auditioning.
Which is very stressful, by the way. Anyway, go
ahead. Cats, your films are wonderful.
And the show always ends with a handshake, big O.
Yeah,
you know, so it's just how it's been that way forever, and I think that it has to have a little bit of sin in it to be successful.
But now I see other people doing the exact same thing, like not even or forgetting the number, that type of a thing that you do. Like, I mean, I'm seeing a lot of people do they acknowledge, hey, I'm taking your deal, or
Terry Stokes used to call me up and say, hey, I'm ripping off this bit from you.
At least you gotta appreciate that. You gotta. I mean, at least
I think it ceases to be a ripoff if you tell somebody you're doing.
Well, you literally, hey, I'm ripping this off. I'm like, okay, that's fine.
Well, yeah, no, but at least you know. I mean, you know, it's not like
there's a lot of people that are stealing my stuff that are not at least you know giving me that decent phone call.
Yeah, at least say you know this is what I'm doing.
And there's nothing I can do except come up with new stuff.
Yeah.
And when these hypnosis conventions come to town, they're always in my showroom and sitting there with their pads and their papers and buying the videos. And I always make sure I do the same show when they're in town.
Yeah.
I do the same
every single thing every night. I mean, do you always feel because of that you have to kind of be on your toes? Or what's the next thing I can do? How can I make
it absolutely. Yeah. I've got about 8 hours of material that I can pick and choose from to make the show happen the way it happens. So, but no, when there's other hypnotists in the room, I do the same show every time.
And it's the stuff that everyone's known for years.
Right. Nothing new is coming out at all, period.
So now, is it hard to get volunteers? Do you ever have a night where you don't have volunteers?
Absolutely. I think the recent times... my cheapest ticket, I think, is $55, you know, all in, and Cirque du Soleil tickets are now 2 for $99.
Cats just did a big story on that.
Yeah, we've written about this recently, That when Cirque drops into that level, it's a whole different climate.
I mean, so why
climate,
doesn't it, since they've kind of figured it out, does it make sense for everybody to do that during these summer months?
I don't know if they're going to ever recover from it. Like, once you stop, you drop your prices like that, you can't get them back up again. It's as simple as that.
You know? Hold your price point.
I've held my price point. Mm-hmm. 55, 65, and 85. And I've held that price point for 8 years, and I won't drop it down. Now, I'll do a 2-for-1, or I'll do a discounted ticket here and there, but generally, my ticket prices need to stay where they are. And I'm still, you know, 3/4 to full up every night, which is really grateful. I'm really happy about that. You know.
Yeah, you're good. No,
thanks.
No plans for taking out to a showroom anywhere, or PH Live, or anything like that?
No. That was very interesting.
You're not going to be selling 5,000 seats a night.
Yeah,
dang.
No. I can't
that
believe
just
that
happened. That didn't work out.
I can't believe that didn't work. It was such a solid plan.
I know. It was a plan I couldn't understand for one moment, but I had 100% confidence in.
Well, the thing is, I think that the clientele that we're getting in
town know what we're talking about.
Yes. I think that the people in town now, or the people that are buying show tickets, are older people, because I think the nightclubs are swallowing up the 25 to 40, basically.
Which is still, I still don't get that waiting in line to pay a lot of money to stand.
If you're not catering to that 40 plus, you're not going to do very well in this town.
Well, so, I hope when I get there that people are catering to
it. You have disposable income when you get there. Exactly. All right, we got to wrap it up. Anthony Cool's headliner in his own show at Paris, Las Vegas. Adult hypnotist.
The experience.
Experience, Anthony.
Are
Cool.
You experienced? Somebody far wiser than us once asked. Thanks for coming down, Anthony. We'll do it again, okay?
Fantastic. Enjoyed it.